The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
Fastamai, good afternoon. This is The Man in Line on Manx Radio. It's just gone 7 minutes past 12 on Thursday, the 21st of October. Beth's sitting again for Andy this week. He's not well, but this is your hour. What would you like to talk about? Perhaps that central body we need to look after our footpaths and public rights of way. That's according to one of our newest MHKs. And what about doctors in the UK calling on the government there to start implementing restrictions as the number of COVID cases rise? Should that advice have any bearing over here? Call 66 13 68 if you're happy to talk to me on air. You can also email the studio, studio@manxradio.com, or text 166 177. Let's just think about then some of the main stories from the past 24 hours, which you might like to have a chat about this afternoon. I mentioned the footpaths. So there are calls for the creation of a central body to look after the Isle of Man's footpaths. Poorly maintained rights of way can affect mental well-being and tourism in the Isle of Man. Now, that's according to one of our newest MHKs. We're going to hear from her shortly. She'll be putting forward a motion about this to Tynwald next month. So do you agree? Have we let things slip when it comes to our footpaths and rights of way? Also mentioned just there, and it's flashing up on the BBC News in front of me, doctors in the UK calling for COVID Plan B to start. The British Medical Association is accusing the government there of being willfully negligent for not reimposing COVID rules such as mandatory face masks, perhaps social distancing as well. Should that advice have any bearing over here, or is it really against that living with it ethos? Be interested in your thoughts on that this afternoon. Two nominations so far for the two vacant seats on the Legislative Council. A former Middle MHK who didn't stand for the House of Keys general election. That election, incidentally, I think it was 4 weeks ago today. Can you believe that? The other nominee is Paul Crane, who stood unsuccessfully for the constituency of Middle in 2016 and 2011. He's the man behind the Manx Population Atlas. The other nominee is Bill Shimmons. Nominations closing on the 4th of November. The election is on the 23rd of November, just over a month away. Any thoughts on that this afternoon? And here's one that I'd like you to ponder on. And if you come up with a suggestion, do let me know. I saw a tweet from Dick Welsh MBE, the former director of the Isle of Man Ship Registry, and it really got me thinking, and I wonder if it'll do the same for you. What and when was the last large building, attraction or thing that we've opened here in the Isle of Man of which we can be proud? What springs to mind for you? I'd love to know. To talk about that or anything else that might be on your mind this afternoon, 66 13 68, that's the number to call. You can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166 177. Before we go any further, though, we have had an email from Anton Cashin, and I just want to read it to you. Anton says, "My father, Tommy Cashin of Andreas, is 90 today. Anton asks if there's any chance of a shout out for him. Tommy, as we know, been a regular listener to Manx Radio since its inception. He listens to the news several times a day. The Man in Line, History Man, the late shows were also a regular favourite for him. The TT, there's a race commentary that he's always been glued to. And before the internet, says Anton, I recall a Christmas time special with messages from Manx people overseas, especially in Australia and New Zealand, being mandatory in our home," he says. "Tommy still religiously listens to the news headlines and The Man in Line. The wireless will be switched on to hear Manx Radio if he's working, i.e. pottering around his garage and sorting things out, i.e. thinking in the sunroom. Manx Radio has been part of his life before the telly and the internet, and for him remains his main and trusted source for news, interest and entertainment. And Tommy lives with his wife Moira in Andreas, and he doesn't want a party or any presents. It's just another day for him. So Anton says if we could give him a shout out, it might just make his day. Well, Tommy, many, many, many happy returns from all of us here at Manx Radio. You really are one of our very treasured listeners. Hope you have a lovely, lovely day. Let's go to some of the texts that we're getting in just now, speaking about COVID. Texts ending in 502 says, just when are we going to get on with booster and flu jabs for the over 50s? Winter will be over at this rate. Thinking about the vaccinations, if you are eligible, have you had your booster yet? According to the latest information on the vaccination dashboard, 8,174 boosters have been administered. Currently, those eligible for the boosters are those over the age of 50 and those aged between 16 and 49 who have underlying medical conditions. And anyone who goes for a booster must already have had a full course of the vaccine. There's also been a media release today about vaccinations for young people aged between 12 and 17. They're really being encouraged to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Recent data from the Public Health Surveillance Report has shown that the greatest increase in weekly confirmed cases has been in that 10 to 14 age group, the second highest increase among 15 to 19-year-olds. And the Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Hewitt, says that while COVID-19 is typically mild in most young people, there is the risk of some getting seriously ill or needing hospitalisation. And so one dose of the vaccine will protect against that. Looking at the latest figures, 86 new cases of COVID-19 were confirmed in the Isle of Man yesterday. That brings the total number of active virus cases locally to 668. And there are now seven people in hospital with the virus. That's an increase of one since Tuesday, but no one is being treated in intensive care. 13 minutes past 12. Now, you might have just heard in the news some disappointing news if you were looking forward to the Douglas fireworks on the 5th of November. In the past hour, Douglas Council has announced the display has had to be cancelled. It's because the Department of Infrastructure has advised them that unforeseen delays to the promenade redevelopment works means that the area in the vicinity of the war memorial, where they're normally held, won't be in a safe condition to accommodate the crowds of spectators expected for what is traditionally, isn't it, one of the island's largest community events. The council leader, Claire Wells, says the council has done everything it can to avoid cancelling the event. However, it hasn't been possible to arrive at a solution whereby the fireworks display can safely go ahead. Despite the best efforts on the part of the council, we are faced with no option, she says, but to make this very difficult decision, which we recognise will come as a big disappointment to so many people, including our long-term sponsor of the event, Selton Manx. And the Selton Group Chief Executive Bill Mummery says, as sponsors of the Douglas fireworks for over a decade, we are well aware of the logistical requirements and safety measures that have to be in place to ensure public safety in delivering an event of this scale. Any thoughts on that this afternoon? We can go to the lines now and join Howard on line one. And Howard, you want to talk about footpaths?
Hi, it's just, it's not a new thing. I've got a letter in front of me here from 2019, July 2019, where we'd been to the airport with our daughter. She was going home, and as we were walking out, the car park, etc., it was abysmal. It was actually dangerous with the brambles, etc. And I got a letter back eventually from them saying, yes, we'll let you know it's been passed on and what's going to happen. Well, as it happened, I went down quite a considerable time afterwards. I never got a reply back from them. And nothing had been done. And this was brambles, and I mean brambles at face level, etc. But also, I've got a great-grandson, and we go out and we use what is, and it's a good idea, the cycle tracks, footpaths, etc., that go out on the old railway line through to Peel. And you've got to be, or had to be, ultra-careful. I don't know what it's like at the moment because the weather's not been, but again, it's brambles, and they're coming over the top of the bushes, and they are face height. And you've got to be extremely careful when you're cycling along there, otherwise you're going to see his injury. And with a child, like he's nine, and he likes to tear along, well, not looking exactly where they're going all the time. The brambles, etc., again, are in a dangerous condition, except grown over the existing bushes that were on the side of the railway lines. And it wouldn't take much to run a tractor along there with one of the shears like they used to do. I know they're talking about this wilding, and I agree with it to a certain extent. Some of the areas do look good, but let's not use that wilding, that word wilding, as an excuse to do nothing. And this is what seems to be the pace of the Manx government at the moment, especially the DOI. It's about time that was split up and went into its various sections, because it's got to the point now where anything that goes into there just sinks into a quagmire and never comes back out again. So Sarah Maltby, she has brought this up, and the footpaths, etc. Well, we were down at Turkeyland one day, the grandson and I, and it was disgraceful.
It's interesting, isn't it, Howard, just thinking, I suppose, about who's responsible for doing this. I know years ago it used to be maybe the highway board gangs that used to maintain the footpaths, and mm-hmm. it was quite clear who was responsible for it. And you mentioned the wilding thing. That has been a trend in recent times. But who's really going to be taking responsibility for this issue?
Well, when was it ever changed? Because if the responsibility lay originally with the highway board, which was integrated into the DOI, they should continue to be responsible for it, because it is the land of the island, and the footpaths are the land of the island, and they are public way, and they should be responsible for the maintenance of them. So the responsibility for that has not shifted. They've just changed the name, that's all. And this is the old saying, it's the same horse, just a different jockey.
Howard, thank you so much. Some good thoughts there. Any comments on what Howard's had to say? 166-177 studio at manxradio.com, or you can also call. We can go to line two now and join Martin. And Martin, you want to talk about the gift card scheme?
Yes. Hello, Beth. It's just, I don't know, I'm a little bit sort of incredulous about the reasons being given for launching this scheme.
Would you just be able to just outline what the scheme is for people who might not have been heard of it?
Well, it's they're calling it the gift card scheme, which it's being backed by the Economic Recovery Group, and it says it's aimed at increasing midweek spend in local cafes, restaurants, and takeaways. And in my mind, yes, that in itself isn't a bad thing. You know, I'm all for local businesses getting assistance. But and as far as I understand, I can't see the figures, but I think it's going to be £100 per voucher. But maybe I could be wrong on that. But it's, to me, it's not addressing, or it's not sort of allocating the funds where it's needed. Because this excludes any alcohol, which I have to say, it's being in the, obviously in the pub and brewing trade, and it just feels wrong that non-food pubs and bars on the island are being picked. Well, I shouldn't say picked on, but there isn't a level playing field. I mean, throughout the summer. And for the last, I forget, 18 months or so, establishments which serve food have enjoyed a hugely reduced VAT, which, you know, I don't begrudge them that for a second, but it completely sort of missed out any alcohol sales, which, you know, there are dozens of non-food pubs on the island, and they're an important part of our you know, culture and our social. Everything, you know, they go back a long way, and it just feels that they're being sort of overlooked. And but we've had countless meetings with the government people just to try and sort of decide how you know there could be a scheme brought in to give assistance to those places, which, you know, they are for a lot of certainly elderly people during the day. It's their social life, and it's company for them.
And I know we have heard, certainly in the past couple of years, Martin, that we could face the very real threat of losing some of our pubs if something isn't done. From your experience, how realistic is that prospect?
I think it's absolutely imminent. I mean, I think this winter is absolutely going to see several traditional pubs go. They've been teetering for a few years, and it's just, as I said, nobody begrudges the food places having assistance, but there's been virtually nothing for the non-food outlets. I mean, there was a token, the £280 a week, which was granted to all businesses. I mean, I know that they're going to argue that they helped with that, but that went straight to the employee, and it just sort of kept people off the dole. So it was in the government's interest to introduce that. But it's as you say, I think we are going to see casualties. Unfortunately, I think the people making the decisions they're not pub goers. They're more sort of what used to be known as sort of yuppies. So they're more wine bar and gastro pub type people, you know, people who don't frequent the traditional pubs. But we've just been totally overlooked, and I just feel I'm hoping that the public are noting this, and you know, that there could be some support for helping those places that don't qualify.
Martin, thank you so much for getting in touch with us this afternoon. How worried are you then about losing your local 166 177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com, or better still, give me a call, 66 13 68. 22 minutes past 12 now.
Majestic food, majestic views. The majestic Chinese restaurant Douglas. Fabulous Chinese and Cantonese cuisine in great surroundings with private hire available too. Call 682 791 to book, or search Majestic Chinese Douglas on Facebook.
When you need a monument for your loved ones, contact T.E. Cubbon. A trusted family-run business for over 150 years. T.E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions, and fire hearths. For quality workmanship and a professional personal service tailored to your wishes, visit us at Hope Street, Castletown, or at Broadway, Douglas. Call 844-440. T.E. Cubbon, here when you need us.
Corkill removals and storage today. Loads big and small, day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer.
Yay!
Your movers are here.
They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend wordplay continues, and this time we're teaming up with Pizza Napoli. We'll give you the chance to win a meal for four at their Douglas restaurant on Prospect Terrace. To win, all you need to do is have a go at our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday, and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Pizza Napoli here on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
Really lovely to have you with us this afternoon. It is Beth sitting in for Andy because he's still not well. So I'll be here tomorrow. Hopefully he will be much better and be back in his rightful place next week. There are calls to create a central body to maintain footpaths and public rights of way around the Isle of Man. The Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby believes badly maintained paths affect tourism and mental well-being. Well, we can join Jill on line one now, and Jill wants to talk about footpaths. Good afternoon, Jill.
Good afternoon, Beth. I walk the same route, if you like, around Ballasalla, and I take a litter picker with me and a bag, and I quite often come home with a very full bag because the paths that are passable, people don't treat with respect. They just, you know, if they have a sweet or a cigarette, just throw the wrapper or the stub away. And it is annoying.
So you go out and do your bit for the community then, Jill. I suppose perhaps what we need is the equivalent of something like beach buddies for our footpaths, maybe. I mean, beach buddies certainly seems to be one of the island's big success stories. We need a Bill Dale for footpaths, eh?
Well, Bill has done the footpaths occasionally, but, I mean, he shouldn't have to. I mean, do people just throw things around in their own homes? Or do they actually get up and put it in the bin or in the dustbin?
I suppose some of it might have just been blown out of bins. I know sometimes seagulls can take things out. But what do you think, then, we could do to deter people from doing this, from littering? Do you want to see people fined for it, actually named and shamed, maybe?
Well, it's not a bad idea. I think that would stop them quicker than anything.
Jill, thank you so much for getting in touch. What are your thoughts on that? Are you one of the people who goes out on your daily walks and maybe picks up litter as you go out and about? Juan's been in touch to say years ago there was a gang that used to maintain our footpaths. What happened to them? We used to see them often working in the West. Helen's been in touch to say, morning, I've just heard the news and I am not happy that a former MHK who chose not to stand in the election now wants to be an MLC. I think to enable him to do this is a questionable practice. I hope that some of the non-elected candidates who put themselves to the vote and gained over 1,000 votes consider standing themselves and find someone to put them forward. Jane's been in touch about public footpaths. Exercise, including walking, is good for mental health. However, this desire to use mental health as a reason to do everything undermines genuine mental health issues and promotion. The footpath, says Jane, need maintenance and some are in a very poor condition, but please stop using mental health as a glib reason to do it. Paul says, not maintaining our public footpaths, causing mental health issues. My goodness, where is this going to end up? The mind boggles, literally. And Michael's been in touch about the fireworks. Seeing they have cancelled fireworks because of the prom works, why don't they have a fireworks display to celebrate when the prom is finished? Not a bad idea, Michael. Can we please stop reading out derogatory comments about people living in public sector housing? They are there out of necessity and not choice. It is terrible to discriminate them for living in public sector housing. Please stop. And that is from a concerned, fed-up resident. Please have the courage to read out my message. Well, as I said yesterday, if you send a message in, I will always do my best to read it out, time allowing. Regarding the booster COVID jab, a texter says, I'm over 60 and I had my second COVID jab back in March 2021, but I still haven't heard anything from anyone as to when my booster jab will go ahead. I know there was a schedule for the booster jabs that was released a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know whether the idea was that maybe you'd get a letter from your surgery. I know, just thinking about my own parents, that's what happened with them, and they got their appointment and were told. So not sure what the practice is there and whether that's the route that they're going down. Paul Crane will be very good in LegCo. He knows his stuff about demographics. He certainly does. He's behind the Manx Population Atlas. Incidentally, he also helped us with our general election coverage and the exit polls. So statistics are really his thing. I told my MHK, now president, about hedges. Pavements must be over 5 years ago and nothing has been done. I give up, says JK. Gary and Ramsey, good afternoon to you. Footpaths, it's the roads they need to start fixing and listen to people. Listen to people switch on about the vaccination. It's not a vaccine and that's why COVID is rife. Keep following the one in front, Isle of Man sheep people. That's your opinion, Gary. Marie's been in touch to say, instead of spending £3 million on restoring railway bridges, government should be spending money on a new entertainment facility for all ages like Summerland. Well, we were talking at the start of the programme, weren't we, about that question about what is the last big building or thing or entertainment complex that has been opened in the Isle of Man that we can be really proud of. And it was a question that I thought might interest Peter Kelly with his Victorian hat on. And he says, in a reply to an email I sent him, that this isn't an easy question to answer. It's hard to think of anything modern to satisfy that question. And he says nothing since the Bailey Scott designed Village Hall in Onchan of 1898 that is acclaimed internationally. And then Peter goes on to say what could be described as good architecture of recent times, remembering that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The cafe at the Sound, he says, not a world beater, but it blends in from a distance, certainly functional in terms of providing a wonderful view of the Sound and the Calf without being a blot on the landscape. He also says Dr. Taylor's Oval House near the Blackboards is a very high class architectural internally and externally, but just not seen by the public to achieve a popular acclamation. And Peter says something that has been around for 56 years is the sea terminal in Douglas, a unique design in the shape of the three legs. Functional, it still serves a purpose for what it was intended, and it has undergone amendments since it was built, but nothing to distract from the original concept, now well appreciated by the architectural profession in the UK. So if you've got any other thoughts on perhaps what is the most recent building attraction or thing in the Isle of Man that we've opened that we can be proud of, 66 13 68, 166 177 if you want to text, or email studio@manxradio.com.
When you're looking for your next dream vehicle, come to Rex Motor Company. Whether it's sales or leasing, servicing or detailing, we're on hand and ready to help. We have new stock arriving daily, so no matter what you're looking for, we're your one-stop shop for all your motoring requirements. Come to our showroom in Whitehoe Industrial Estates, just off the Old Castle Town Road, or visit rexmotorcompany.im. That's rexmotorcompany.im. Rex Motor Company, for all your motoring needs.
Help us make a life-changing difference and enter our monthly hospice lottery draw. You could win one of three cash prizes of £1,000, £300 or £150 for just £5 per play. That means we can continue to provide our services to those who need them, when they need them, completely free of charge. Enter online at hospice.org.im/lottery. Players must be 16 or over, and terms and conditions apply.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
On Friday the 29th of October, enjoy the Quo Experience. Enjoy one of the UK's best Status Quo tribute acts live at the Gaiety Theatre and rock out to their biggest hits, including Whatever You Want and Rocking All Over the World. It's not to be missed. Buy tickets now at villagaiety.com or phone the box office on 600-555. Presented by RS Promotions and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
From Peel to Port St Mary, online, on smartphone apps and on AM and FM. This is Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
12:33. It is Beth sitting in for Andy this week. Lots of thoughts coming in about footpaths. James says the upkeep of footpaths by councils and local authorities is non-existent. They certainly haven't been maintained for years. Do they think the Manx public is blind? All over the island, paths are being eroded by overgrown ditches and grass. We have a caller now. We can go to line one and join Francis. And Francis, you want to talk about footpaths? Helps if I push the right button.
And it's come out of Blenmay to go to Trick.
Apologies, Francis. Sorry, we missed the start of what you were saying there because I pushed the wrong button. What were you saying?
I live in Blenmay, and the road, or footpath rather, from Blenmay to Patrick, and then turn right at Patrick to go to St John's are an absolute disgrace. It's an actual regular walking area for people. And they have to go in the roads because you can hardly see the pavements in a lot of places. And I think that should be added to listening regarding complaining.
Oh, sorry, we're losing you a little bit there because of your mobile phone signal, Francis. But have you mentioned this to any authority?
No, not yet. It was just that you are on that subject and I thought I'd just put my little bit in.
Well, we're very glad you did. Francis, thank you so much for taking the time to phone this afternoon. Any other areas of concern that you've noticed when you're out and about, do let us know. Let's just hear more about this call to create a central body to maintain our footpaths and public rights of way. It's Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby who's pushing this forward. She believes badly maintained paths affect tourism and mental well-being.
Well-being, mental health, this actually all contributes to people's experiences and being able to cope with those issues. So it's not really just about maintaining paths. It's actually a much bigger picture than that for the fitness and general well-being of our island's population. we boast and advertise about our beautiful walks that you can go on to, our fantastic countryside. But if you can't, then they get here and they find that they can't actually access those areas, then that's not very good for the island's image, is it really? It just all links back to the mental health, looking after these places. If we can't look after our own footpaths and give tourists, when they come to visit here, a good experience, if we can't give our own local residents a good experience so they can go out and walk of an evening without fear of some sort of danger because they can't actually access where they'd like to go, then that really is not good enough.
That is the Douglas South MHK, Sarah Maltby. And as far as I understand, she will be bringing a motion on that subject to Tynwald next month. Now, somebody texted earlier about when they were going to hear about getting their COVID booster jab. And we've just had a text from somebody who says, I had my booster jab last Saturday, no after effects. And they tell us that there has to be 6 months between your second jab and your booster jab. So people have to be patient. So if it's less than 6 months, that might be the reason that you haven't heard anything yet, even if you are in the eligible category. Peter the Painter in Sulby, good afternoon to you. Just thinking about the fireworks display, which has been cancelled on Douglas Prom on the 5th of November. Will the Armistice Parade have to be cancelled as well? But now we can go back to the lines. Another comment on footpaths, and this time from David. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Beth. I'm a little bit concerned about the new members having their little wish list when we haven't corrected what we actually need. If you look around the Isle of Man, and everybody will tell you in each constituency area there, the footpaths are miserable. Some of them are tracks. Also, too, what's happening with the footpaths we've already got in big estates is that the edges are going, you know, where the flat bit is towards the curbing edge, where they've dipped and becoming natural trip hazards to elderly and young kids, which are close to the road. And my thought is on that is, and it's an old one, that the area gangs and what they did, they knew the area they had to maintain. They knew the gullies they had to clean before the winter started and took a pride in their own area. And I wonder whether Mr. Crookall now, the new DOI minister, when he's chopping things up, because he's going to have to chop things up in his department, because why we've got waste in there when there's a conflict of interest, while we've got housing in there when there's a direct conflict of interest, because local authorities should be doing that. They should be chopping up the houses, putting them to the nearest area so local authorities can look at them. That's their function. And just quickly, before you cut me off, the newest issue is the water wheel in Groudal. And the best place probably we ever did was the Bowl in the NSC, but still needs to be looked after by government.
Good thoughts there. Thank you very much for getting in touch with us, David. Just thinking about footpaths and a similar subject, they might need attention, in your opinion, but it does seem that our parks and green spaces actually on the Isle of Man are doing well, particularly in the capital here, because Douglas has retained its 9 green flags for the 3rd successive year. Now, this green flag award scheme is managed by the UK environmental charity Keep Britain Tidy, and it recognises and rewards well-managed parks and green spaces and really sets the benchmark standard for the management of recreational outdoor spaces across the British Isles and actually around the world as well. And obviously, because of COVID-19, restricted travel for site inspections has meant these awards were actually made following a desk-based assessment. Well, Douglas has got its 9 green flags, and this is for Derby Square, Douglas Borough Cemetery, Douglas Golf Course, Douglas Head, Hutchinson Square, the Kay Memorial Garden, the Marine Gardens, Nobles Park and Summer Hill Glen. And the Regeneration and Community Committee Chair Stephen Pitts from Douglas Council says retaining all 9 green flags for a 3rd successive year is down to the year-round hard work of the Council's Park Service. The island is emerging from COVID-19 restrictions and returning to near normal. Central to that is the important wellbeing role that our green spaces play. We're going to go back to the lines. Anna, I think Howard's back with us. Hey, Howard.
Hi, Beth. Sorry to come back on again.
That's okay.
But I'm just listening, and it's one thing that annoys me. What you've just said is the green flag. It's the green flag criteria is more or less written in stone. I looked it up a while back, and it's certain areas, and they've got to be nominated. And they do the same thing each year. There's one in front of where you are. I've just said to Barry, Douglas Head. Okay, it's nice. They got Nobles Park, you got various other places. But once you get outside those areas where the judges go to, this is what is happening. The rest of the place has been neglected. Early in the spring, they have a flurry of activity to get these places neat, tidy, nice looking. The judges come over, go back, next thing you see, and it's probably flying. If you look out your window, the flag is flying up there on the bus turnaround, the old bus turnaround. But you go a few yards around from there, round to where the memorial is for the Solway Harvester disaster, you can't see your hand in front of you because of the weeds and the rubbish and everything that's all around. So the green flag is a bit of a farce. It might make certain areas look nice and make the councillors pat themselves on the back and have a party on the strength of it, but outside of those areas, there's very little, if anything, done. And this is, you know, it annoys me intensely that they're going around boasting about this and the rest of the town. I remember up in Annaker, they had the prisoners up here one time and they cleaned all the footpaths up, the weed and everything. And it was immaculate and those boys should have been proud of themselves. The next year, the council didn't even come up and put weed killer down or anything like that. And within 2 years, it was like the programme on the telly. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
So it's really
the trouble with it. The council are so busy looking for something to pat themselves on the back for that they're neglecting everything else that's around them. They can't see the wood for trees.
But I suppose you could argue, Howard, that the fact that they are receiving accolades like this in certain areas shows that that attention is working. It sounds like from what you're saying, perhaps we need an all-island award scheme to be part of to appeal to our competitive nature, maybe.
Well, they used to have a similar system in it. Villages and towns had their own criteria. But Douglas is the capital of the island and it should be the whole of Douglas that should be judged on it, but they nominate, and if you look up the list, they give specific areas where they can be judged upon. And these are the same ones you'll see each year, and they're listed each year, the same places. So it's only a case of running a bit of grass cutting over, tidy it up, and next thing there's another green flag. And it's farcical. It's ridiculous in so much that the council are doing all this and the gardens department, and I can say this now, I served my apprenticeship in the gardens department and Douglas was beautiful. It was well looked after and the people who were working in it were proud of it, and that's the problem.
All right, Howard, thank you very much indeed. Interesting thoughts there. Do you think maybe the green flag isn't something to be celebrated as much as perhaps it might be, or is it good to start somewhere, do you think? 66 13 68 if you want to get in touch. We've had another message from JK who says also the DOI are meant to have wardens going around. Presumably this is to check the footpaths. DOI actually told JK this. What are they doing? Why aren't they doing anything about it? He believes they are getting paid for doing nothing. Sue in Kirkmichael says, yes, footpaths should be maintained properly and they should make sure that the paths are accessible. Times I have been on a new walk and come across a stile that I can't get my dog over, under or through. He's an old dog and if I have to go back the way I came, it can't make for a very long walk. Just a note in from Crystal, and this is about the importance of keeping dogs on leads, especially near livestock. And she talks about a dog that she understands that's killed a sheep. And she believes that owners should be doing the right thing with regard to keeping dogs on leads. Footpaths in Ramsey closed due to a landslip. The river road to the river has been closed for over 5 years. Andreas's road to the beach is very disappointing. And that path down to Glenmay with no access to the waterfalls, some of the areas that Rosemary's noticed when she's been out and about. Regarding the hedges and footpaths, there's no consistency or organisation and it's always someone else's job. And the wild meadows are lovely for attracting butterflies and insects. Well, that's that wilding concept that we were talking about a little bit earlier, isn't it? And it's that balance, I guess, between allowing people going out and about or just making sure that the wildlife I would query the current two nominations for LegCo. Bill Shimmons said he had family commitments and couldn't stand for MHK in middle list time. Suddenly, a couple of months later, he can now stand for LegCo, which doesn't require a vote from the electorate or any effort calling on constituents. Paul Crane failed twice when standing as a prospective MHK for middle. And regarding the footpaths, Sarah Maltby is correct. Many of them are in such a bad state and it needs one body to be responsible for them. Well, we can go back to the lines now and join another Tommy. We mentioned a different Tommy Cashin at the start of the show, but this is another favourite of us, Tommy Dawson. How are you?
Oh, hi, Beth. Just to say, I'm absolutely... overjoyed to hear your beautiful voice on the radio, Beth.
Oh, thank you.
My heart is fluttering as I'm talking now.
Oh goodness, let's hope it. let's hope everything's all right. What do you want to talk about? Footpaths?
Well, it's what the others have been talking down Victoria Road here with all the past the junction with Palace Road, and it's all tree lined up there, Beth, and the number of obviously leaves that have fallen. And nobody makes an attempt to brush them up, and you're going to get block grids, and they're going to be flowing across the road, making things hazardous for road traffic, Beth, you know. I mean, doesn't anybody care now?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? We were talking a little bit earlier about whose responsibility it is for certain areas, and I'm guessing that might be the reason behind some of the complications here.
Well, probably. I can remember, Beth, you know, because I can go back about 600 years. I used to have a little chap there working for the corporation, and he had a bin that was on two wheels, and he had his brushes stuck in the little holder. And he used to do it that way, Beth. He used to go and brush all the leaves up and put them in the bin. And that was his job. He was, you know, and I think it's a bit outdated now, but can't we have somebody to get this situation? Because you're going to have more block grids and then more water on roads.
I think you do still see that happening occasionally. I know I've seen it sort of fairly recently.
But I've seen the pumper and the pumping pipe that they put down the grids, you know, and then they pump them out that way. But they're few for between. I've seen those, but you've got to. This just makes the place look untidy, Beth. You know, we're proud of our island, and we've got things like this, but roads almost blocked with grids almost blocked with leaves overflowing. Yeah, we should have some. I think I'll get me a bucket out afterwards, Beth, and go down there.
Well, you do that, Tommy, and come back to us and let us know how you get on. Thank you so much for phoning this afternoon. Lots of text messages, as you'd expect on this. Somebody whose number ends in 383 says that fella on kicking off about the DOI needs to realise the DOI do not have the people or resources that we used to have, and certain areas have now gone back to the parishes. So this all goes back, doesn't it, to that notion of whose responsibility is it to take on certain areas. And I just wonder if that confusion is behind some of the issues that we're seeing here. Can someone from the town hall come on the line and explain why they've closed a public footpath connecting Williston Crescent, Watterson Lane? The lane has been a public pathway since 1947. Why have you incorporated one of your council houses into the lane, making it part of their property? This lane, says this texter, is a very popular walkway used by lots of residents and it needs to be opened forthwith. My brother walks all over the Isle of Man, says Liz, and he says you need a machete to cut through the footpaths. They are a disgrace. Fran's been in touch to say just two things regarding Howard's comments. I think this was at the start of the show. At one point, the airport gardens, which Howard was talking about, were a jewel to the island. Now, sadly, they are an unkempt mess. And the second point, could the DOI please tell the public why certain hotels are gaining so much from the prom scheme? The problem with the DOI is simple, says this texter. There isn't enough frontline staff and it's top heavy with management. The frontline staff leave and they never get replaced. I wonder if that's coming from somebody working within the DOI, perhaps. Howard and some of his retired pals should go out and do a bit of trimming themselves. He should recall the words of the late JF Kennedy. Think not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. 166 177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Still got 5 minutes or so if you want to go on air. 66 13 68. Texter ending in 470 says, what's more annoying are the 4x4s and enduro bikes ripping up the green lanes and footpaths around the island. Again, another controversial one. And as ever with any of the subjects that we talk about on the Man and Line, it's never a sort of a middle ground that people take. So there are those people who believe that letting people come over here and go around the greenways is great for our tourism and promoting the Isle of Man. Certainly we've had many enduro races here from the Isle of Man go on to do very well on the world stage. What do you think? Somebody's texted here about, this is from Maggie, talking about road signs. If while travelling around the countryside I come upon road signs obscured by foliage, would it be illegal for me to cut back the growth? Should I happen, says Maggie, to have some shears in the car? I don't know, Maggie, but I would definitely just check that before you go out and do it. I don't want to authorise anything here on the programme, which might get you into trouble. Joe says, and this is regarding Martin's call a little bit earlier, talking about pubs. If customers don't have the money to frequent public houses due to the high prices which they set, along with the cost of living and fuel prices, which are rocketing now, why should the government continue to prop up these particular businesses? If trade is simply no longer there, people will not attend, regardless of how many schemes are offered up. Ethel says, I walk on the footpaths and I pick up litter while picking wildflowers, and while ripping the head off a bunch of wild daisies, I was disgusted to find a Mars bar wrapper. Please, says Ethel, leave your rubbish at home. Steve's been in touch to say, regarding the idea of having a firework display once the prom is finished, is that listener anti-fireworks because it'll never be finished? In Steve's opinion, they let the Red Arrows go ahead but cancel the fireworks, says Robbie. So lots of disappointment about that. We did hear Douglas Council has had to cancel the fireworks display on the 5th of November because that part of the promenade just around the War Memorial isn't going to be ready. Speaking of cancellations, actually, I just want to point out that the Quilliam Lecture, which was due to take place tonight at the Arbury Church, has been postponed. We don't know when that's going to be on again yet, but Andy was due to give that lecture about piracy in Manx waters, Radio Caroline. So it is going to be rescheduled, but obviously as Andy isn't well at the moment, it's not going to go on tonight. Texter just messaged to say, I've had a letter from Manx Care with an appointment for my booster. I had my second jab in May. Somebody with regard to great buildings and things that we can be proud of that have been built in recent times on the Isle of Man. Karen says, what about the new children's hospice? That is a fabulous place. The Isle of Man government used to have local gangs to maintain our lanes, roads and rivers. Now they just employ a few private companies that get rich on it and are nowhere near as efficient as the regular gangs used to be. Some other messages which haven't come through because they were picture messages, so just scrolling through all of those. I rang the Isle of Man government 111 today regarding the booster jabs for over 50s. They said the only letters that have gone out at present are for the over 70s, and then they said they have no schedule yet for the 50 to 70 age group, so just wait to get your letter. Thank you very much to Alison in Ballabeg who has put us straight on that one. Some other thoughts on booster vaccines. I heard a lady asking about the booster vaccine. Mine was due on the 18th of November, exactly 6 months after my second jab. Today, I received a letter stating my booster is indeed going to be on that date. So I'm guessing if that lady is overdue her booster, maybe call and speak to someone because they're really helpful. She suggested 111. But I mean, I don't know whether maybe you might go through your GP first. That's from H and a sunny Ramsey. It's actually sunny across Douglas Bay now, which is a nice surprise. Martin is absolutely correct. Non-food pubs have suffered for a while now. Many don't have an outside drinking area and many have a long history. They are part of our Manx heritage and we really do need to protect them. That's from Slurpy Dave. I just drove up Ayrton Hill, says James from Crosby, and some irresponsible person has thrown a bag of McDonald's wrappers out of the car window. Disgraceful. Really is amazing, isn't it, how far they can travel. On the subject of footpaths, says Mike, can any listener advise whether or not it's illegal to ride push bikes on the pavement? Anyone answer that before the end of the programme? Chris Wild, good afternoon to you. I walk through Manor Woods in Farm Hill every day and I pick up litter as I go. The litter is almost always wrappers from sweets, biscuits and plastic bottles. There's usually something new every day. There are two litter bins nearby. How do we educate people, especially the young, to use them rather than drop it wherever they go? Steve has been in touch to say, think the price rise in gas prices that that lady voted for will be doing more damage to people's mental well-being than the footpaths. Regarding the booster jabs, this is Cindy. You can't have a booster jab until at least 6 months after your second vaccine. So that might be why people aren't receiving letters about them now. And what about property owners who permit bushes and trees to overgrow public footpaths around towns and villages? That's G. Lots more comments that we haven't actually got time to get to, but rest assured, I will read every single one. We might carry some of them over until tomorrow, because that it is it from the Man in Line today. And if you just thought of something you want to talk about, you can contact us out of hours. 682 631 is the number. Leave a message. We can play it out tomorrow, maybe. Thank you so much to Barry Redfern for producing today's programme. Thank you for your company and contributions. We literally could not do this programme without you. Late Lunch with Christian Howard is up next. Have a great afternoon, and I'll be back with you tomorrow from midday.